Hey, good morning, church. It's great to be speaking all our campuses this morning. We're one church. We're in different spaces, different places, but we're one church, Icon Church, and it's great to be all gathered together today. I want to talk today about being planted in the house, planted in the house. When was the last time you had a real longing for something? Jeannie and I have just come back from holiday. We went on holiday with some friends and with one of our sons. And there's always that conversation you have, I can't wait to be in my own bed. Who else? Just wave at the screen. Who else has that longing? I can't wait for my own bed. Jeannie always says, we get in the car at the airport, we're driving home. She always says, I can't wait for a proper cup of tea. Now, what's a proper cup of tea? We've been having cups of tea all week in Spain. Maybe you've got a chair and you can't wait to have that familiar feeling of sat in your chair where you feel safe and at home. Maybe it's a routine. You have a longing for that routine. Being British, none of us longs for the British weather. We never have that longing. Can't wait to get back to the rain, or can't wait to get back to the cold. We do have this longing for home. Astronauts speak about the psychological and emotional impact that being in space has upon them, that when they look from space at our blue planet, the Earth, and it's an incredible sight, and I think we've got a picture that'll come on the screen at this moment. When they spend long periods of time in space and they look back at the Earth, they often experience in this longing for home. They say that seeing the Earth from the distance can be awe-inspiring, but it also creates this longing to be back with the familiar, to be back at home. As exciting as space is, as exciting as fulfilling that vision and dream is, they want to be home. I believe there's that longing in each one of our hearts, this longing for home, where we're truly meant to be, where we truly belong. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, I believe God tells us what home is for human beings. He says this, God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. The book of Genesis begins with God saying, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And I believe that tells us what home is for us as human beings. Home is this place where God's image is seen in us. That's the place where we feel most secure, safe, in that place that we feel, you know, at rest. This is what our longing is in our lives. It's what we desperately want to get back to, what we desperately want to fulfill. Blaise Pascal, who was a French mathematician and physicist, says this, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. We, as humans, have this longing, and we try to fulfill this longing with our own versions of home, and none of them satisfy. It's a universal longing. Everyone has it. We're always looking for answers in our life. Our basic instincts are for survival, but beneath our survival instinct is a desire to flourish, to thrive, to find our God-given home. At one time, as humans in history, we looked to institutions to flourish. Things like governments, banks, countries, empires, the Assyrian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had this phrase called Pax Romana, where they said, we are bringing the peace of Rome to the whole world. And when we bring Roman rule, even though it came through oppression and violence, people will ultimately flourish. Maybe we thought about that with the British Empire, that that was our desire, that people would flourish, and maybe now America or other places. Institutions, even churches and religions, humans have looked to churches and religions as that place of flourishing. And one writer, Mark Sayers, he calls these institutions zombies. Zombie institutions. They're like, they're still alive, they still exist, but they're the walking dead because no one trusts them anymore. Very few people put their trust in institutions. And so today, where do we put our trust? We put our trust in self, in the psychological self, in affirming individual belief and individual ideas, and fulfilling personal desires, and the results are proving catastrophic in our world today. And as Pascal said, the only path to freedom, the only path home, is new life in Jesus and knowing Jesus as Lord. You see, we were made for something bigger. We were made for something greater than ourselves. We were made for relationship with God. And so the only path to true freedom is a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus, in that relationship, wants to transform us. He wants to lead us to flourishing and lead us to freedom. And so I'd like to just mention the Keys to Freedom's course, actually, that starts this week that we're running for the first time in Icon Church. This is the booklet that if you're on it. And these are tools to find freedom and to live free. And I want to encourage you, we've got 5 places left on this course. It's a limited number we can do it with. But if you have this longing to recognize God's voice, to fully connect to Christ, to heal hurts maybe that you've experienced in life, to break generational patterns that have gone through your family over generations, and you want to discover how to use your authority as a believer in Christ, I want to recommend this course to you. You need to get in quick because there's only those 5 places. But it starts this week, and I'm praying that a whole host of people in Icon Church will find that path to freedom. You know, when we think about flourishing in life, God tells us how we flourish, and that's where I want to lead us to in the rest of this message. In Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15, Jeannie's favorite verses, the psalmist says this: "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him.'" The psalmist here tells us the place where you and I are meant to be in order to flourish, and that's planted in the house of God. Let me just say that again, planted in the house of God. Not attending the house of God, but planted in the house of God. And the psalmist says that we will grow like tall and straight like palm trees. He says that we will be like cedar trees, and cedar trees are evergreen. The wood is of exceptional quality. It was used exclusively, actually, in the building of the Old Testament temple that Solomon built because of its quality and because it was the best that could be found. The psalmist tells us not only will we grow tall and straight, and not only will we be evergreen and of exceptional quality, he says that we'll continue to be that in old age, and that we'll continue to remain fresh and flourishing. This was God's promise to David, and it's God's promise to us, that he would provide for David, and he would provide for us a place of flourishing, a place that gives us rest from our enemies, rest from our troubles, and it's his house planted in the house of God. Listen to the promise that God gave David in 2 Samuel 7, verses 9 to 11. "I have been with you, David, wherever you've gone. I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And here it is, I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed." I will plant them so they can have a place of their own and no longer be disturbed. "Wicked people shall not oppress them anymore." Amen. as they did at the beginning and have done since the time I appointed leaders over my people. I will give you rest. Who wants rest? I will give you rest from your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will establish a house for you, the house of God. I want to suggest to you this morning, not only suggest to you, but proclaim to you that our longing for home and our longing for rest and our longing for flourishing is found in the house of God. You know, there's a famous story in the book of John. It's the story of the prodigal son, and he takes his inheritance early. He goes, he squanders, he's in wild living, but he eventually goes home. And do you know, when he goes home, it's not that he's repentant. It's not that the prodigal son says, I got it all wrong and I've made all these mistakes, etc. I'm so sorry. But he goes home because he knows that everything he needs is in the Father's house. And I want to say to you today, that's what God is speaking to you and to me, that when we are planted in God's house, there's everything we need. It's been a conviction in my life. It's been a conviction in Jeannie's life. It's been a conviction for our family, and it continues to be a conviction today. It's been a conviction around our ministry. Why are we building the house of God? Because I believe everything that we need as human beings can be found in God's house. So I want to share with you three promises that God makes to us in Psalm 92 that have become a conviction for Icon Church. It's what we believe with all our heart at Icon Church, that these promises God fulfills when we're planted in His house. Just got three for you this morning, and I hope that you can receive these today. Here's the first. You will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. The righteous, the psalmist says, will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright and there's no wickedness in Him. And what a promise that you are going to flourish in God's house, that you're going to flourish as a person in God's house, that you are going to grow like a cedar. You're going to be evergreen in every season of life. You're going to find a way to flourish. It's not that you're not going to have trouble. It's not that God is going to deliver you from all the trouble and circumstances around you. No, but it's that God will help you find a way to flourish whatever season of life. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God has a path of flourishing. God has a revelation in His house for you to flourish and for you to be like that cedar, to stay fresh and green, to bear fruit throughout the ages, young or old. And I believe this speaks to us. You know, we flourish in God's house when we serve where we're planted, where we actually get rooted and we get planted in the house of God and we serve in that space. You know, I want to think, I thought about bringing a plant pot today with a plant and then just repotting it and replanting it and just using that as an illustration to say, is this plant going to flourish when it keeps moving around, when it keeps repotting itself or replanting itself, when it's in the pot, out of the pot, when it decides to do this, you know, move to this other spot and this other pot. You and I know that that plant is not going to flourish if it just keeps getting uprooted and moves about without any planning. It's so important that you and I realize that we need to be in a place where we're planted and to serve where we're planted and to serve with what God has given us, our gifts, our time, our talent, our treasure, to serve. You know, Jesus is called the servant king. He says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. You know, servants aren't just followers. Servants are leaders as well. And so I want to encourage you, don't stop being planted in God's house. Don't stop being the people who serve God in His house, because I believe that you and I will flourish in all seasons. We'll flourish in our lives, in our family. God has it in our house. I want to just highlight our, you know, Goo Kids team and our Goo team that's been led so well over many years by Jane Lloyd across all our campuses. And they have just developed and finished developing a three-year curriculum. A three-year curriculum. And I want you to view it on the screen here, that actually right now we have and we are working and teaching through a three-year curriculum. So I want you to think of this. A family comes to Icon Church, any of our campuses, and they come with children that are aged four, and they, with those children go through GU from 4 to 10. And over a six-year period, they will go through that curriculum. If you are faithful as a parent to bring them, or if the families are faithful to bring children into the house of God, they will go through that curriculum twice over a six-year period. In that curriculum, there's lesson plans, videos, there's activities to make it fun learning experience for children. I can promise you, as a lead pastor in Icon Church, if your children are planted in God's house, if you as a family are planted in this house and your children are faithful in GU, they will know the Bible. They'll know the Bible stories. They'll know the truths that are in those Bible stories by the age of 10. And I want to tell you, I can still remember stuff I learned as a kid when my mom took me to church. They're planted in the house of God, will flourish. People will flourish. So we will be fruitful. I'm believing for you and I'm believing for me. I don't know where you feel right now that you're stagnant or stale, but I'm believing for fruitfulness. As you are connected to the house of God, that there's something in the atmosphere, there's something in our relationships, there's something about being part of God's family that's going to cause fruitfulness in your life. I speak it over you today. In the name of Jesus, you will be fruitful. You will flourish in life. The second thing, the second promise is this: you will multiply. You're going to take someone with you. You're not just going to flourish alone, but somebody else is going to flourish with you. It might be your family, it might be your children, it might be your friend, it might be a colleague at work, but somebody is going to flourish with you. You're going, as you serve faithfully, it builds credibility and others come along. You see that plant that just pops around, gets on a plane and visits this place for, you know, because God's doing something there, or it goes because it needs to see this, you know, visit this thing or go to that thing. Many Christians live like that, don't they? They're just chasing blessing, chasing something all the time. When God tells us, plant it, people flourish. You don't have to chase the blessing. The blessing is chasing you. The atmosphere of blessing is chasing you when you're planted in the house of God. And the scripture tells us that when we do that, we multiply. There's multiplication. I've said it many times. One is too small a number for God. Look what the same psalmist says in Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He was flourishing because somebody invited him. Somebody pulled him along with him and said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And you will multiply as you are planted in God's house. You'll become a person of influence. There are people who will come with you, people who will follow you. I don't know about what your next step is. Maybe your next step of growing in Christ is Keys to Freedom. Maybe it's being connected to a small group in the life of our church. Your next step could be a change of thinking in a particular area. It could be a big step, or it could be a small step. Maybe your next step is baptism. Let me encourage you, if you've not been baptized, don't stop growth in your life. Take the next step. Be planted. It's what we do at Icon Church. Be planted in the house of God. Sign up today and be planted, and because when you do, you will have influence. Somebody said this: it's impossible to thrive spiritually when you drift from place to place. So I want to encourage you, be planted in God's house and God's blessing will chase you. You won't have to chase the blessing of God. It will chase you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. So the first thing is you're going to be fruitful. The second thing is you're going to multiply in God's house. And the final thing is that you will be a presence carrier and change atmospheres. Wherever you go, the presence of God that you experience in His house, the truth, the flourishing, the blessing you experience, you're going to take. I want to prophesy to somebody, you're going to see a shift in your workplace. You've been saying recently, you've even said recently, you know, the atmosphere is terrible where I work. You're going to see a change as you are planted and you flourish in God's house. You are going to see things happen in your workplace. I want to prophesy to somebody else. I can just see somebody in their workplace, and suddenly people around you begin to become inquisitive about what God's doing in your life and where you turn up on a Sunday, and what the things you do, church stuff you do, and you're going to see people in your workplace coming to Christ. I just want to pray for you. I believe that's going to happen in your life. You know, something surprising happened to me this week. We came back from our holiday on Monday, and I parked the car, and my neighbor was sorting out his caravan. He'd just come back from his holiday, and we just began talking, and he said something. He opened a door that's never been opened before. He said, "Do you know what?" He said, I need to know this church stuff that you're involved in, because it just seems, I mean, he didn't use these words, I forget the exact words, but so it just seems like you're blessed and, you know, things happen for you and there's joy." And he kind of just opened this conversation. And I said to him, "Well, I can help you. I know the path in that." And then I went off taking the cases into our house. He sorted his caravan, but there's a door that opened there. I want to tell you, you're going to see that. You're going to see that in your life, because you are a presence carrier. Being a Christian is not just being a nice person who subscribes to certain beliefs and codes. Being a Christian is a radical regeneration of our heart and life so that we have a relationship with God that's alive and that's vibrant, and we carry the presence of God wherever we go. You know, Jesus called this relationship with God being born again. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, talking to a religious person, he said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Have you ever realized that the divine presence that in the Old Testament shook mountains is living in you? That the divine presence that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and that you are a presence carrier. That you are a gateway to the kingdom of heaven for people's life. And you're going to change atmospheres, and you're going to change cultures because of being a presence carrier. Just realizing it, being planted in God's house, you're going to know God's presence in your heart, your life, and your mind. And you're going to carry that into your home, into your family, calmly, quietly, but powerfully. You're going to carry God's presence, and it will transform the situation. What needs transforming in your world? I want you to believe today that you walk out of this place carrying the presence of God. There's people you touch every single day of your life, and they need peace. People you touch every day of your life need confidence. People you touch every day of your life that need hope, you've got it. It's living on the inside of you. You might say, "Well, Paul, I need a bit of peace. I need a bit of confidence. I need a bit of hope." You've got it. It's on the inside of you. It's the person of Jesus. You've been born again by the Spirit of God, and now you're a carrier of that presence. And as you are planted in God's house, He promises that you will flourish, that you will be green, and that you will multiply and bear fruit. You know, at Icon Church, we want to be a church that changes atmospheres. We want to be a church that changes the atmosphere in our communities. We want to be a church that changes atmospheres in people's lives and the culture, because we want to bring, you've heard me say this, and you've heard her say this many times, we don't just want to bring earth to heaven. We want to bring heaven to earth. And that's why our values as a church are that we are generous. We're positive, we're empowering, we are creative, passionate, and united. Because those values tap into heaven and God's presence and bring God's presence to earth. So just as I close, I want to remind you that in a few weeks we've got our vision offering and we're praying about that. We're praying and fasting each Wednesday around that. And I just realize that all of us, if we play our part, can bring heaven to earth. The target that we've set, it's achievable. For some of us, for all of us, it would take sacrifice and it takes vision and it takes passion. It takes generosity. It takes creativity, finding a way. But we are planted in God's house. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, the Bible says. And so as we play our part, we can see God's kingdom come and His will done. I read this testimony recently for someone. They wrote, "This last weekend in God's house, I felt like God took me apart and He put me back together again. And I feel more whole than I felt for many a while." In 2 Samuel 7:10 that I read earlier, let me read this verse from a different translation. It says, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more." Planted in the house of God, we will flourish. So just before I pray, here's your next step, I feel. I want you to grab this conviction. I want you to grab what the Bible teaches about being planted. I don't want you to be a Christian that's chasing blessing all over, whether that's the internet or this place or that place. I want you to realize when you are planted in the house of God, blessing will chase you. I promise you. I promise you. Jeannie and I have lived it and seen the blessing of God in our lives. We've had good seasons, bad seasons, difficult seasons, like all people do. But we have seen the blessing of God chase us because God is good and God is faithful. So I want you to grab this conviction today. That's your step. I don't want you to walk out and say, "Well, that was a nice talk," or no, what. I want you to understand this. You don't run after blessing. You get in a place where blessing runs after you. Goodness and mercy, the Bible says, will follow us, run after us all the days of our life. I want you to enjoy the freedom that's in God's house. And if you need to sign up for Keys to Freedom, there's just those few places left. Do that today. And maybe your next step is serving God's house, being generous towards God and generous towards His house. And the reason I ask you to take these next steps today is because our desire for every person in Icon Church, every person in our communities, in Sheffield, in Stocksbridge, in Chesterfield, in Derby, every person, we want to see humans flourish as they're meant to in relationship with Jesus. And so I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will be fruitful. Lord, I ask today that we will be planted in your house. And where today people need to find fruitfulness, they will find it in areas of their life, things that have been stale and stagnant, that fruitfulness will come. I pray that we'll find multiplication, that other people, whether it's people in our families, people are praying for loved ones, for spouses and partners and children and relations. God, that those people will come and find you too. Father, I pray for that in Jesus' name, that multiplication. And that we will realize and walk out of our buildings today with this sense that we are carrying God's presence. We're not just going to work tomorrow. It's not just another manic Monday. We are carrying your presence into our homes, into our workplace, into our communities, into our families. And we ask you to move through us in Jesus' name so that your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a faith-filled people said, amen, amen. I'm handing back to campus pastors right now, just to close all of our services.